December 18th, if they're there. So we left off last week discussing the last condition that we're going to discuss in terms of Dov Hashiyeshla Matir, and that was the Chiddush of the Mordechai. Let's go back for a moment. The context of the Mordechai was in the Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara tells us that we know that one is not permitted to squeeze out fruit on Shabbos, that sometimes that's an issur d'oraisa, sometimes an issur d'rabbanan, and even if the juice squeezed out by itself, it oozed out by itself, would be also on Shabbos to drink that juice. That's what's called mashkin shezavo. The Chacham made a gezeira shem yitzchot. If you like the juice so much, you may end up squeezing more, which would of course be problematic. So the Mordechai addressed the following shaila: what is the halacha if a person has a big barrel of grape juice and there are grapes on the bottom before Shabbos? There's a lot of grapes already in the barrel, but during the course of Shabbos, so that grapes continue to ooze out by themselves. Now come Shabbos morning, the guy wants to take a cup of grape juice out of that barrel, so there is clearly some of the grape juice in that barrel is now mashkin shezavu. So should we ask for the entire barrel? So at first glance we'll say, let me ask for the whole barrel. So much more grape juice that was there from before Shabbos, so much is a davar mutter, so shouldn't a little drop that oozed out the bottle? So the Mordechai says, no, not so fast, it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, because mashkin shezavu was only usher on Shabbos, so you could wait till after Shabbos, davar sheyesh lematirin, if it would be enough for a bottle. So that was the starting point of his question. So the Mordechai says, no, that's not called the chumra of davar sheyesh lematirin, because that's what's called bala olam b'ta'aroves. But when do we say davar sheyesh lematirin is in bottle? That's when you had two things, one was a davar also, one was a davar motor, and the two got mixed together. So if the davar also was yesh lematirin, so bittul doesn't apply here. Davar also never really existed, but the tray for wine, so to speak, the also wine, so comes into the world, the tarovas. So when something comes into the world in the state of the tarovas, that's a better type of bittul. That's a more powerful type of a bittul, and that type of a bittul has the ability to apply even by a davar sheyesh lematirin. That was the yesod of the Mordechai. That's where we left off last week's shiur. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos quotes the name of the Prima Gadim, that this kula of the Mordechai is a great kula. Shulchan Aruch quotes this kula. It says the Prima Gadim, this kula only applies in terms of the chumrah of davar sheyesh lematirin. Means that the added chumrah, that additional dimension of chumrah called davar sheyesh lematirin, that's never batel, doesn't apply when it's bal olam b'tarovas. But you have to apply the regular din of a bittul, whatever the regular din of a bittul are, bittul b'ro, bittul b'shishim, so it doesn't matter whether it's bal olam b'tarovas or not. Of course the regular hilchos bittul apply. The Mordechai was only the chadesh that the chumrah dikka din of davar sheyesh lematirin doesn't apply b'chi ha'gavra under these circumstances. But regular din of bittul, the standard din of yoredeya, the regular din of yoredeya, of course apply whether it's bal olam b'tarovas or it's not bal olam b'tarovas.
Wouldn't the circumstances of surrounding bal olam b'tarovas make it like an infinitesimal percentage of the coming in drop by drop?
But that's what's cool. We probably don't say kama kama batel. Although there was some Rishon who said kama kama batel, that when they have a little bit of chaz, it falls into a pot of potatoes, it's batel, then a little bit more, it's batel, a little bit more, it's batel. We probably don't assume that way. We probably assume that it's what's called chos of ineir, that it all comes back to life. That's how the Ramah Paskins in Simon Sadites. So, assuming that this Prima Gadim is right, so now let's analyze, well, what would the regular dinner of bittul be, in this case of the wine? So this is min b'mino, it's quote-unquote trefa wine, it's the ayin, the machin shezavu, that's getting mixed into kosher wine, into wine that existed from before Shabbos, so that's min b'mino. So how do we paskin min b'mino? That was a machlekes Rav Yudim l'chachamim. We paskin that min b'mino min ha-Torah is batul b'rov. Now true midirabbanan it's not batul b'rov, because midirabbanan you require shishim, even by a tarovis of min b'mino, as a gezeira of the min b'sh. We spoke about this earlier in the year, that mid araisa, when you have a mixture of two different tastes of food, chazer falls into potato soup, so mid araisa you need shishim to be mevatel the tam. So the Chachamim instituted that even by min b'mino you require shishim, even though there's clearly no nesidas tam, by min b'mino you require shishim. Gezeira, people are going to get confused. If you tell people that min b'mino is batel b'rov, next thing you know they're going to say min b'sheino b'mino is batel b'rov, which would be a nichshol on a level of the araisa. So halacha l'maaseh you require shishim by min b'mino. There's no question about that. That's the ABC, Simen Tzadiches, opening Simen and Shulchan Aruch, Berachos Tarovas, and every Tarovas, either a min b'sheino b'mino or a min b'mino, require shishim. So if you put this whole puzzle together, what comes out as follows. And in the case of the Mordechai was matir that you don't say a filo be'elaflo bottle. You don't ask for the entire barrel because of a couple of drops of wine. But what you do require is shishim. That's what the Prima Gadim says. Of course you need shishim. If you don't have shishim, so then you're stuck with the regular hilchos tarovas, and regular hilchos tarovas are not going to be superseded by the klal of all of the tarovas. This is all the background to the shaila now that I want to discuss. So now, based on everything here, we have a very, very serious problem, halacha l'maaseh. those were in the Shabbos Chaburos last year. We touched upon this a little bit last year also from the Shabbos angle, but it's really the same shayla. This is a very common practice people have. They want to make themselves a cup of tea, so they take a slice of lemon, and they put the slice of lemon into the tea. Now, we're not addressing the bishul angle of that shayla. That's too much of a Shabbos. We're trying to there. So a person takes a slice of lemon and puts it into their tea. Now, to actually squeeze the lemon into the tea is a very serious problem. That's chita. Poshup shot, as we assume, there is chita on lemons. Not everyone agrees to that, but we are going to assume la'locha that to squeeze a lemon would be problematic. So to squeeze a lemon into your cup of tea, that's a problem. But to slice a lemon and just put it into the cup of tea, what's the problem? The problem is that some of the lemon juice is going to ooze out by itself. Some of the lemon juice is going to come out by itself. It's going to be potentially a problem of mashin shezavu. So l'chora, the minhag olam is to be matir. Everybody does this. What's it based on? So the Parsha Pshat is based on this Mordechai, because the Mordechai says when it's vala olam b'taroves, so we don't apply the rule of the avashiyeshna matir afil v'yalaf l'vatil. So we assume that the little drops of lemon juice that are oozing out are going to be batil in the cup of tea. That's what the minhag olam is based on. B'chara, we have a very serious problem. According to the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Prima Gadim, true, we don't apply afilu be'elef lobotil, but the regular dinim of tarovas do apply. So the question that we really have to ask ourselves, when you slice a lemon and put it into a cup of tea, do you have the regular dinim of bitl? Do you have shishim? So by volume, you may have shishim. I never made an experiment, but it's quite positive. A nice big cup of tea. So you should have given me a cup of tea then. If you would have given me with a lemon inside, we could have really demonstrated tea with sugar. So you take a lemon and put it inside. It's quite possible that this more than shishim of the tea corresponded a couple of drops of lemon juice that are coming out. But the problem is, here we're going to be done in by another halacha. What's called milsa de'avidu l'taima afilu be'alaf l'vatil. When you have something which is a milsa de'avidu l'taima, something which is put in specifically for the purpose of giving a flavor, so taima l'vatil. So the flavor is not batil. Why? It's obvious. The whole idea of shishim is saying that, well, there's no tam there. Whatever tam is there is batil mevutil. That's true if it's a regular food. But if it's something that's put in specifically for the purpose of giving taste, so how can you say taima l'vatil? But nice, when you drink a cup of tea with lemon, don't you taste the lemon? So if you taste the lemon, it's in the middle, the lemon's not bottle. Shisha means, if you don't know whether there's taste or not, you can assume that there's no taste. But if Levi's you taste there, so of course it's not going to be bottle. So, Hadra Kushma Duchta, what's Pshat in the Minhag Olam? So the Minhag Olam is Lahafel, that you can put a piece, slice of lemon, leave it inside the cup of tea, and the drops are going to be bottle. That's not true. True that it's going to be, true that it's, you don't have to come onto the chumrah of davashesh and matir nafil in the alfa batil, but what happened to the regular dinim of tarovas that you need shishim, and if it's a milsa avil l'taima, so by definition you don't have halachic l'shishim. This question has been bothering me, has been annoying at me for years, so I asked two gedolim this shayla, and unfortunately the context where I asked both of them, something happened that interrupted, and I never got an answer. It first happened around about 10 years ago or so, when I was in California on Sukkot, and there was a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and Rabbi Nochum Sauer was there. Nochum Sauer was Adam Godel, the Choshver Abonim in L.A. So I happened to be in my luck, I was talking learning the dinim of, I think I must have learned Shabbos then, I was learning Schita, and I came across this problem, and that night, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, I was dancing in a circle, and I happened to be standing right behind him. So while we were doing the Yeshiva Shuffle, so I whispered to him, I said, Rabbi Sauer, I have a shayla to ask you. So I was trying to ask him this whole shayla, then he starts to talk to me, he says, oh, this is a little timer, what? And then that's out of the dance, the music changed or something, he went his way, I went my way, and that was the end of that. I never got an answer to the question. So roll the clock forward a couple of years. Last year I was walking with Rav Asher Weiss, Shalita was here the first time, more than a year ago. So I was walking him, a whole entourage of people between, on the way to Mincha or something. So I was standing next to him, so I had a couple of questions to ask him. So this was one of the questions that I asked him. I said, what's Pshat here? So he said, Mishnah Berurah, Mordechai, started to talk back and forth, and then we came to Mincha, and that was the end. Then he had to go say another 300 shirim that afternoon, and that was the end of the discussion. So I'm still waiting. If someone could find me a Gadol who could sit down for 5 minutes and get an answer to the question, I'll be happy to hear. Meanwhile, the Minhag Olam is to be Mater. The Lefini is not, I don't understand it. I don't understand what it's based on. I think Tasha is against the Prima Gadol and the Mishnah Berurah, but maybe the other, there's an answer, but someone has an answer to this question. This klal of the Mordechai, that there's a difference in halach and hilchos tarobes between a tarobes that's bala olam tarobes and a tarobes that happens subsequently, that in terms of the hierarchy of tarobes, that a tarobes which is bala olam tarobes is a better tarobes, is a stronger tarobes. It can be matter things that would not be permissible in a regular tarobes. So one really has to understand this Mordechai conceptually. What is this based on? And really, how does this Mordechai relate to another statement of the Mordechai? So we're going to learn this next shaila that the Mordechai raises isn't too much halacha l'maaseh for us, hopefully, but it's an important in terms of lumdus to understand. So an important klal in terms of hilchos tarobes. There is a Mordechai that appears in Maseches Chulin that's bothered with the following kasha. The kasha is predicated on a Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara tells us that when a woman does chalitza, so she has to do chalitza, she has to take off her shoe, and she has to do rekika, she has to spit in front of him on the floor, she doesn't spit in his face. Contrary to popular opinion, the Yorker B'Fanav means that she spits on the floor in front of him, not literally into his face, and she doesn't spit into the shoe. That's Mamash L'Hoyud Ram Yolam. If you take a poll of people as to where the Yavam is supposed to spit at the time of chalitza, 95% of the people say she spits into the shoe. I don't know where that myth came from, but she spits onto the floor, she doesn't spit into the shoe, doesn't spit into his face. But she spits in the floor. Yarka Bafana. So no, didn't everyone ever hear that? That's what I heard. Everyone always tells me. Everybody talks about Khalid and Shia, so Tamidim always, that's, I always ask them, so where did the Yavama spit? So 9 out of 10 hands go up and say in the shoe. So Lamaita Yarka the chalitza, like I thought Hashem, it's a mitzvah that we don't see all that often. It's the only mitzvah that we dive into the Rebbe Shalom never to see. At the end of the chalitza, there's a tefillah that says in Shulchan Aruch to say, Yehiratzon Shelo Tova B'nei Yisrael L'Dei Chalitza. So you never make such a tefillah, such a bakash by any other mitzvah. Say there's a tshuva in Rebbe Yehuda that he had a machlokes with one of the other dayanim in Prague about how to do a certain thing in the chalitza. So the Rebbe was significantly older than the other dayan. So they were having a machlekes about when he presses down, she presses up. It's a technical shaila about how to maneuver the foot at the time of the chalitza itself. So the Nadira writes in his shuva that he was arguing out with this younger dayan, and finally he turns around to this younger dayan. He says, you know, listen, you weren't here, you weren't born at the last chalitza. The last chalitza in Prague was 25 years earlier. I should give you just an idea. He's in Prague. It's not exactly a little town. He's in Prague about every 25 years or so they had a chalitza. So the Nadira says, the last time the chalitza, you were in Cheder. He said, I was the rabbi 25 years ago, but no. So chalitzas, Baruch Hashem, aren't all that common. But at the time of the chalitza, one of the mitzvahs that you have to do is rekika. She has to spit. So the Gemara Yavama says, Yavama sherecha kadam. One of the Yavama gets ready and she spits, and then she spits literally a mouthful of blood. So is that a call her a good rekika or not? Does she have to do it over again? So the Gemara says it's okay, because the efshar ladam below tzichtzuchei roik. That there's no shear how much roke has to be. There's no shear how much she has to spit. So the Yavam just have to see what's going on. So even if it's a little bit of roke, that's good enough. So says the Gemara, it's not possible. It's not possible physically that in a mouthful of blood there's a little bit of rope, there's a little bit of saliva, so even though most of it is dam, it doesn't matter, the chalitza is still going to be acceptable. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos. So she need not do the rekika over again. So the Mordechai asks Salam de Shoshana of this Gemara, how can it be, let the little bit of saliva, a little bit of rope be buckle the rope, let it be buckle and rope the dam. Clearly there's more dam there than rope, so let the little bit of rope be buckle the rope, command the leisa, and the whole rekika is no good. She would have to do the rekika over again. That's the Mordechai's Lam de Shekash and the Gemara. So the Mordechai says no. Bittul Barov doesn't apply here, because when do we apply the concept of Bittul Barov? That's when it's not Biyasal Olam B'Tarovis, but something which is Novet B'Tarovis, like the spit and the blood, they enter into the world together, because as it leaves her mouth, so it's already B'Tarovis, so Bittul doesn't apply under those circumstances. So the nail of the rope still exists. So the nail of the rope is not batel. It's like evil, it's like the end, so to speak. It doesn't, it's not considered to be batel. Since the rope is not batel, the nail of the rekik is kosher. That's the Mordechai's Yisod, the Maseches Chulin. So all the Acharonim go to town with this Mordechai and say, wait a second, the Mordechai in Chulin contradicts the Mordechai in Shabbos. The Mordechai in Shabbos and the Sugya of Mashkin Shezavu tells us that something which is bala olam b'tarobes is a better bittul. It's such a gevaldik bittul. Einuch bittul gadol mizeh haraya. Such a strong din bittul has the ability to override davar she'esh lo matirin. Whereas here in Maseches Chulin, the Mordechai is telling you that this is a shach shvach bittul. This is not bittul. This is not doing bittul. This can't be bittul because it's bala olam b'tarobes. So therefore, the meal is still command to eat. So the meal still exists. So stira galuya. You have to decide: is bala olam b'tarobes better or worse? Is it more subject to bittul or is it less subject to bittul? So let's try on this Mordechai.
You learn the line.
Oh, we're going to get to the Ran. We're going to get to the Ran. Very good. Very good. That's going to be the key to the Ran. So what's Pshat of this Mordechai? So the Acharonim go to town. What's Pshat of the Mordechai? The Marit Al-Ghazi and his parish and Mechiris. His pages and pages and they're trying to explain away what's going on at Stephen Mordechai. So Lefini is Daiti. The answer to the Stephen Mordechai is very, very poshut. Because the Mordechai means something totally different with the phrase Bala Olam Tarovas. The words Bala Olam Tarovas mean two totally different things. He happens to use the same phrase in both sugyas, but they mean totally different things. Bala Olam Tarovas in Chulin, in the Sugya of Yevamos, in the Sugya of Rekika, is talking about a natural tarovis. That this is part of her body. It means she has a cut in her mouth. So when you have a cut in your mouth, so you can have saliva mixed together with dam, that's a natural occurrence. That's what the Mordechai means when you have a natural type of occurrence. That's derech habriya. That's the way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So it's a natural thing. So there's no bittul. That's not considered to be bittul. Bittul applies when you have two things which get artificially mixed together. A little chaza falls the potato soup. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create chaza and potato soup. You as a person caused, either directly or indirectly, accidentally, whatever it was, you caused an artificial combination of two things. So that's when the halacha of bittul kicks in. But when something is natural, and that's the way things grow, that's the teva olam, so that's not called a tarovis bechlal. That's, it doesn't have a shame tarovis. That's the way it's supposed to be. Bittul means when things aren't supposed to be that way. So when the Mordechai in Chulin says that the dam and the rope is not a tarovis, what he really means to say, he uses the phrase bal olam tarovis, but what he really means to say is a tarovis beteva. He means a natural tarovis is not considered to be a tarovis. Hashem came in Maseches Shabbos. It's not natural that the grape should ooze out into pre-existing wine, because you put grapes into a big barrel, so it's oozing together. That's not a tarovis b'teva. That's a bala olam b'tarovis, but an artificial tarovis. I mean, that's subject to hilchos bittul. That could be bittul, because it's not a natural occurrence. That's an artificial, that's a human occurrence. You put the grapes together into the barrel. So that is subject to bittul. So comes the Mordechai and says, when you have a type of a bittul that's in the parish of bittul, it's not a natural occurrence, and the bittul happens in such a way that the davar also never takes on its own entity, that it becomes, goes right into the davar mutter. It never is bala olam b'isser. It goes right into the davar mutter. That's a better tarovis. That's the highest form of tarovis. And that type of a tarovis is bottled even by davar sheyesh l'matirin. So basically what the Mordechai is saying is that b'alocha, there are three different levels of hilchas tarovis. There's the worst case scenario, the case which is not subject to bittul at all, bein l'chumra bein l'kula, is that it's a natural mixture. We have a natural mixture of things. That's not called a tarovis. Everything remains in its own entity. The davar asa, davar mutar, girl, miyot, everything retains its own identity. That's the lowest level. That's the sugya of rekika and dav. Then you have a middle ground, which is regular bittul, regular halacha bittul. It means a little bit of chas. It falls into a potato soup. So the chi hagavna, the middle ground of bittul. So the chachamim made a takana davar sheyesh l'matirin afilu bi'alaf l'bata. Then you have the highest form of bittul, which is the greatest type of a tarovis, when it's artificial, but the davra also never becomes really also. It never takes on its own entity. It becomes mamish bottle of the neila immediately into the davra mutter. B'chi hagavna, the chumra of davra sheish matir nefil b'yalaf l'bottle does not apply. So there are two different phrases. Bala olam b'tarovis, it's a phrase that could be interpreted in two different ways, and it means two totally different things. It conjures up two totally different images. So in the discussion I had with Rav Asher Weiss in those 30 seconds on that walk, so I started to say this over to him. I said, the Mordechai in Shabbos, the Mordechai in Chulin, it's a stira. But I started to say to him, but I don't think it's a stira, because the Mordechai, I started to say really, really fast, another 20 people, I said, the Mordechai in Chulin doesn't mean that, it just means that it's taros, the teva. So he turns around to me and says, of course that's what the Mordechai thinks. Who would have ever said anything else? So who would have ever said anything else? The Marit Al-Ghazi has 40 pages assuming the other way and trying to explain what the answer to this theory is. That's Pashas Abash Shekivanki. So if we didn't get the answer to the lemon, at least we got the right shot in the Mordechai. I think there's the Emes Lamita in terms of the Mordechai. So I think as Dr. Warburger says correctly, the lumbus of the Mordechai is really the sum up of what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. We said the Iran had Yesedi, it's the Iran and the Durham. Did we have a chance to see that big run? It's a big one. It's a big run. So the Ran Adarm has yourself, that bittul means when you have a clash, when there's a conflict, when you have two things that are very different from one another, so the rov gobbles up the miut, and the miut becomes bittul. When there's no clash, when there's no conflict, so then bittul doesn't kick in. So that makes perfect sense. When you have a natural tarovis, by definition, that's not a clash, that's what it's supposed to be. Bittul, by definition, means things that aren't supposed to be together. Potato soup and chazer weren't created by the Rebbe Shalom as one entity, so when the two clash, and then there's a fight, and the rov takes out takes over the properties of the meal. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Teva Olam, when you have a cut in your mouth, so there's spit that gets mixed into blood, that's not Bittul, that's not Tara, that's not Hit Nagdut, there's no conflict, there's no clash between the Dabra Os and the Dabra Mutra, the Rov and the Miut, so the whole Yisai the Bittul doesn't kick in. So it could be that we started off the Sugya with that Ran, with that whole Yisai to the Ran, that Bittul was predicated on clash and conflict, and now we conclude with that Ran also, that according to the Mordechai, that's the Yisod also, that when it's Bala Olam Tarovas, Tarovas Beteva, the clash is lacking, with the clash is lacking, and Mela, the Bittul is lacking as well.
We
do apply bittul sometimes to kasher meat in different contexts. It's not going to be bittul in the meat itself. It's going to be a different form. It means if a person didn't kasher the meat properly, then he threw that piece of meat into a pot with other meats, that may have the ability to be.
Once he eats this piece of meat, though.
Yes, we don't use bittul. Bittul usually doesn't apply there. Usually wouldn't apply there. I forget to again. Hilchos Melicha. We get it down the line. So this is the end of Davar Sheish Matir. It's the end for us of Davar Sheish Matir. We're going to move now on into at least the beginning of the next Siman Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Dalet. That's the sugya of Noisin Tamlif Gam. When we have food that although it's theoretically treif, it should have been treif. It was treif at one time, but it no longer tastes good. It's Noisin Tamlif Gam. It has a terrible taste now. So then the halacha changes. So this becomes very, very much relevant. Halacha Lemais. This is going to be really the background to the whole concept of Kedera Shena Ben Yoma, when you have pots that were used more than 24 hours ago. This is going to be the background to many of the medicine shailas, about which medicines are kosher, which medicines are treif. This is going to be very relevant Lemais to some of the klal we're going to talk about. We have to really just first get down the lumbus before we can apply it Lemaisa. So the principle of Noisin Tamlif Gam, you have a piece of chazer and it tastes bad, so it's mutter. Where does that come from? What's the makor and chumash for that? So this is a sugi in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, which is Machlokes Hachanoim. How do them shot in a pasuk? Pasuk says, Lo sachlu kol nevela, ager asher b'sharecha titinen v'achol. You're not allowed to eat nevela, an animal died by itself without a kosher shchita, you're not allowed to eat it. What do you do with it? You give it to the goyim. Ager asher b'sharecha, here ger doesn't mean ger tzedek, it means a ger toshav. Hamochol hanochri, where you sell it to Goyim, you give it to somebody who's not Jewish, so that's what you do with a Ger. So comes the Gemara in the Sechas of Elizar and quotes one of the Tanoim who says, wait a second, the Torah is describing this Besar Nevela as being edible. The Torah is saying, don't eat the Nevela yourself, but rather give it to the Goyim to eat. So from the fact that the Torah is describing the meat that's usher as being edible to somebody else, edible to the non-Jew, you see from here that the Torah is only discussing, only addressing a nevela ru'i l'ger. Only a nevela that's fit to be eaten for human consumption is considered to be included in the issue of nevela, whereas anything which is ain't a ru'i l'ger perhaps is not included in this issue altogether. So comes the Gemara and says, this is the makor for the concept of Nice and Tam of God. This is the concept for this is the mark of the concept where you have treif of food that tastes bad, so it's not considered to be treif anymore. It loses its status of treif, at least with the rice, it loses its status of treif, it loses its isser, because it's an avela she'ena ru'il again. Now the truth is the Gemara quotes another Tana who interprets the pasuk a little bit different. We paskin alacha lekula. We paskin as a din midaraisa called nevela she'ena ru'il ger, rab shema nevela, and it's not included in the yisa the araisa at all of nevela. And the Gemara derives from here to other areas of alacha, the chazer, chel, dam, all the yisuri achila. So if it's not royal achila, so then it's not aser midaraisa. This klal of the nevela she'ena ru'il ger, the klal that's in time of God, that something tastes bad, that it's going to be permissible. So the Gemara applies this klal in a few different scenarios, a few different illustrations of this basic principle. So the basic case is, let's say you have a piece of meat, piece of chazer, and the chazer itself, you leave it out of the fridge for long enough, and it turns rotten. It's not much spoiled. So we paskin that midaraisa you're allowed to eat that, because it's not really good. No normal person would eat it anymore. So it's a nifsum echilas adam. So it's not included in nevela real again. So the mele midaraisa it's mutter. That's, in a sense, the best case of nevela shen real again. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, there's another chiddush. What is the din if you have a piece of treif, a piece of chazer, that the chazer itself tastes good? If you would eat it, the end would taste good. What do? You put it into a mixture. You put it into a taroves, into a type of taroves, so it's not bottle. It's not bottle b'shishim. You can taste the chazer. The only problem is that chazer doesn't taste very good in this type of a taroves. Again, I'm not such a bucky in hope for Hashem. The chazer tastes like, but I can't imagine that there are some foods that you put chazer into, it's not going to taste very good. You have to use your own imagination. You take certain foods that just don't mix very well together, and the tarovis at the end tastes disgusting. So the Gemara says that's also called nevelish and a ruler gear. That's already a chiddush, that even though the nevela itself, even though the chazer itself is a ruler gear, if you would not have mixed it together with the other food, it would have been okay. So you took this chazer and you prepared it in such a dish that now the entire dish tastes horrible. So that's also included in the Gzeiras HaKasuv of Nevelish and Ruler Ger. That's a chiddush that the Gemara has as an extension of the original principle of Nevelish and Ruler Ger. Then the Gemara has, in a sense, as a corollary of this principle, where it says, what's the halacha if you have a piece of chazer, and the chazer is great, tastes kaval, it's geschmack, and you cook it up in a pot, and then you take the chazer out, and now you have the leaves of chazer inside the walls of the pot. And after a little bit of time passes, so the bleah is inside of the walls of the pot are also not going to taste so good. It's going to start to get stale because it's not going to be fresh anymore. And you go ahead and you cook other food. You cook potato soup in that pot. So is that also called nevelish and ruler geir? That's already a chiddush agav chiddush agav chiddush, because the chazer itself was ruler geir. The chazer was nothing wrong. The chazer meat wasn't spoiled. And chazer and potato soup, that may be delicious. I don't know, maybe that's a wonderful delicacy in the non-Jewish world, chazer and potato soup. I think only Jews eat potato soup. I think that's so chazer and potato soup, that's intrinsically great. Why is it ain't a real gear? Because something happened to the chazer that it sat inside the walls of the pot for a certain amount of time. And the Gemara says, what is that certain amount of time? Basioma, we assume it's 24 hours. We'll get that a little bit later. So the chazer, which itself was good, and the chazer with potato soup was also intrinsically good, but the chazer bleah sat in the walls of the pot for 24 hours, and now it's Nois and Tam Lufgam, that's also okay. So those are the three halachas of Nois and Tam Lufgam. So the best case scenario is when the meat itself is spoiled. The next best case scenario is when the meat and the other be'en is a horrible mixture. And the third is that even though everything intrinsically is really good, but because of this cork that has sat inside the walls of the pot for 24 hours, that's also called the Nois and Tam Lufgam. And we're after all these. We pass in the cool on this entire story. The Gemara tells us that it's this third halacha, this third application, Nos Adam of Gam, that becomes problematic. Because if that's true, then what do you have to kasher kelim for? Why does the Torah tell us in Parshas Matos that when they went out to fight against the Midianim, so they got their kelim, they got the pots and the pans and the silverware, and they had a kasher, you have to kasher with libur and hagol, the whole parsha of kasher and kelim. So he asks the Gemara, what do you have to kasher for? Just wait for 24 hours, it's going to be mutar. The Gemara says, you're right, midaraisa, you can wait for 24 hours. The whole kasher was given, if you want to use it right away, they just finished the war, they just got a kavalik, a barbecue grill, and they wanted to grill on the spot. They don't want to wait until tomorrow to grill. So they wanted to grill right away, so then the Torah was mechadish, just the parish of kasher, of libur and hagol. For imtum salam, you want to wait 24 hours, midaraisa you can do it. The rabbanim, you can't for technical reasons, but midaraisa you can do that. Well, also, Torah al kadera bas yoimah. The Gemara says that if you hold there's a kul of mes in Tam of Gam, so then lo asra Torah el kadera bas yoimah. The other Tanoim, who deny Nos and Tam of Gam, said, what do you mean? That's not what the Torah says. Asra Kedera, Asra Torah, Kol Kedera. It means the Pasha of Kasher, Midaraisa, is even if you want to use it in a month from now. So we paskin la lochalo, Asra Torah, la Kedera, bas yom ebulan. Because we paskin Nos and Tam of Gam is mutter. So we are Gavalik, we have Gavalik Akulas. We make it on the first din of Nos and Tam of Gam, we make it on the second din of Nos and Tam of Gam, we make it on the third din. It's all part of the same Chiddush HaTorah of Nos and Tam of Gam being mutter. Does this kul of Nois and Tam Lufgam apply to all Isurim? So we know it applies to Nevela, that's where its source is. Gemara seems to apply it out of the realm of Nevela. So comes the crazy place, Yenis and Ibishitz, and tells us that it would appear to him that this kul of Nois and Tam Lufgam applies to just about all Isurim, the one small technical exception to the rule, of course the one that's most important for us, the Basa B'cholov. Says the crazy place, he thinks that the Chiddush HaTorah of the Asher Torah of El Nevela, means after Nevela Rila Ger, does not apply in the realm of Basa B'Cholav. Why doesn't it apply in the realm of Basa B'Cholav? So it says the creation place, a very simple question. The Gemara tells us in the second parak of Maseches Pesachim that there's a cloud that's called Kol Isurim in Lokanam El Kederach Achilosam. The Torah says in Allah to eat chazir, so only the person eats chazir in a normal manner is Ichai of Midaraisa. The person, let's say, takes a raw piece of chazer and eats it, so it's not a nisadiraisa. You're not chayim malchus for that. Or, say, a person takes a raw piece of chaylev and eats it, he's not chayim malchus for that. It's only nisadiraisa if it's eaten in a normal manner. comes the Gemara and says that klal of kolay surin and logan elachadach achilasan has an exception. The exception is whenever the Torah formulates the iser, not the lashon achila. Then the Torah says lo sochlu kol nevelu. The Torah says don't eat chazir. So achila has a certain connotation. It means the normal way of eating, contrast to an abnormal way of eating. So shalekadach achila is not called achila. Doesn't have a shem achila. So whenever the Torah asks us something, the lashon achila. Only normal achila is included, abnormal achila is not included. But there are a few isurim that the Torah asks a shelo b'lashon achila. The Torah gives us an isur achila, but doesn't use that formulation of lo sochlo. So the Gemara spells out two exceptions to the rule. Two examples where achila doesn't appear. One is kili hakerem, when you mix grapes and you're playing grapes together with wheat. So it doesn't say lo sochlo, it says pentiktosh, a different lashon. We don't have too many those shailas. The one that interests us is basma cholov. How do you know you can't eat basa b'chol? It doesn't say lo soch lo basa b'chol. It says lo savasha l'vi b'chol avimo. We have a mesorah that lo savasha means not only you're not allowed to cook it, you're not allowed to eat it as well. The Torah says lo savasha three times, one for bishul, one for achila, one for hanah. It becomes a Gemara in the second parak of Pesachim and says, since the Torah formulates the Yisra of Basa B'chol of not the Lashon Achila, so then the Kula of Shalok Kederech Achila doesn't apply. That's the Chiddush the Gemara has in the second parak of Pesachim. So comes the Yenis and Abishetz and makes a tremendous jump. He says, this din of Shalok Kederech Achila and the din of Nevela She'en Arui L'Ger sounds like the same thing. The reason why the Torah says Nevela She'en Arui L'Ger is Mutter is because it's Shalok Kederech Achila. It means Tainu Hach, it's the same cloud. Says the crazier place, he says Rabbi Yonatan Ibishevs, just as the Gemara says in Pesachim that Shaloi Kederech Achila doesn't apply in the realm of Basa B'chalav, so the corollary of Shaloi Kederech Achila, which is Nevela Shein Ruah L'Ger, also doesn't apply to Basa B'chalav. So in one fell swoop, the crazier place, he says, this great din, Nesin Tam of Gam, it's Kavaldik Akul, it's everything, it doesn't apply where we need it most. And where do we need it most? Basa B'chalav. We don't have too many chazer, too many Nevela, too many chelav shalas in our kitchens. We have Basa B'chalav shalas in our kitchens. Says the crazier place, the Kula of Nosin Tam of Gam doesn't apply in the realm of Basa B'chalav. Ad Kandam. L'chora, if the crazier place is right, then we could take three quarters of what we've been learning for the last year and toss it out. What did we say 5 minutes ago? The klal of kederish eina bas yoma, the concept of, well, I haven't used the pot in 24 hours, so therefore it's okay, that's the corollary of Nosan Tam of Gam. Chazal derived that. So the Ferish Gemara of Edazar, the Chazal derived the concept of kederish eina bas yoma. That question, the rabbi always asks, when did you use the spoon last? When did you use the pot last? Is it within 24 hours, after 24 hours? That concept is rooted in the kula of Nosan Tam of Gam. If the crazy place is right, and in Basa B'cholav, Nosan Tam of Gam doesn't exist, so then the whole concept of 24 hours doesn't exist by Basa B'cholav. This is going to change everything in your idea. Because when you come with a shayla to the rabbi, so the first question I always ask people is, well, when was the pot used last? And when was the spoon used last? And 99.9% of the time is going to be, we have a lot of pots, we have a lot of spoons. In the old days, you had one pot, so the stomach you used it in the last 24 hours. As a matter of fact, stomach you haven't used it in a while. So we always know, whenever it's Eina Ben Yomo, so things are going to be much better. It's definitely better to have an Eina Ben Yomo Shalom than a Ben Yomo Shalom. According to the crazy place, see, how does Eina Ben Yomo help anything? Eina Ben Yomo plus B'cholov, so Eina Ben Yomo shouldn't apply. So the answer is that even the crazy place, see, agrees to the din of Kederish Eina Ben Yomo by Basa B'cholov. How can that be? We just got finished saying that Eina Ben Yomo is a corollary of Nosan Tam of Gam. The answer is very poshut. What did the crazy place mean when he said that Basa B'cholov is Osir when it's Nosan Tam of Gam? That means, if the Basa B'cholov was already created as Basa B'cholov, if you took good tasting meat and good tasting milk and you created a chefs of Basa B'cholov, so even if that Basa B'cholov subsequently spoils, even if that Basa B'cholov is no longer running at Chila, that's what the crazy place meant, the Kula of Nevelish and Rilagir doesn't apply. But in the creation of Basa B'cholov, so of course the crazier place he agrees, you have to have a tam which tastes good of basar, and a tam that tastes good of cholov. If you take spoiled meat and cook it together with spoiled milk, even the crazier place agrees that's not called Basa B'cholov. He never said such a thing. He meant to say, once the chefts of Basa B'cholov is chal, so that it remains asa li'olam vod, and there's no heter of being pogum. But to create basa b'cholav, kuli amale pligis, a davar poshut, that it has to taste good. Why is that? Where does that come from? Four words. Derech bishul asra Torah. Torah says, lo sevashal gubi b'cholavimo, a normal method of cooking creates basa b'cholav. Where would you ever see a recipe that says, to make this delicious dish, take a piece of meat, leave it out in the sun for a week, get it to be really good and spoiled, take a cup of milk and leave it outside for a week until it really, really is geschmack rotten, and then cook it together. That's called eino derech bishul. So whatever, either one of the ingredients, either the basar or the cholav, doesn't taste good, so that's not called basar b'cholav. The shame basar b'cholav doesn't get off the ground. So that's not what the crazier place you meant. The crazier place you meant. Once you have a shame basar b'cholav, once the chafta basar b'cholav has been created, it remains the isura li'olam v'od. You can't just be matir it based on nesim tam of gamba. In the creation of basar b'cholav, avada nevada, you have to have a tam, which is the tam l'shevach, a tam which tastes good. So therefore, Baruch Hashem was still safe, even according to the grace of Plessy. Our shailas are always in the creation of basar b'cholav. I take a milchik spoon and I used it to stir the cholent. So that's creation of basar b'cholav. I want to know, can the tam, the milchik tam inside the spoon, can that combine with the meat in the cholent to create a shame basar b'cholav? So the answer is, it depends. If the spoon is a ben yomo, then you have good tasting milk in that spoon, then you have a problem, then you have to figure out, is it bottle b'shishim, not bottle b'shishim. But if the spoon is an eino ben yomo, so that's halachically the equivalent of having bad tasting milk now, so that's like taking spoiled milk and putting it into the cholent, which is not going to create basar b'cholav, and vice versa. If I have a pot that had meat in it a week ago, so that's called basar pogum. So that basar pogum cannot combine together with milk. If I take a fleshy pot, I haven't used it in a week, and use it to boil up a pot of milk, so that won't be basar b'cholav, even according to the crazy place, because you can't create basar b'cholav with a tam pogum. Once you have it, then it will remain in the olam v'od. So we're still okay. Even if the crazy place is right, we're still home free in terms of 99.9% of our shailas in terms of basar b'cholav. But hopefully we'll have to see in the next year, whatever that will be. So we'll have to see, is the crazy place really right? Is conceptually right? His whole shtickle was based on a comparison between the halacha of shaloka derech achila and the din of the veil shenir l'gir. I hope we'll have to see next year, but that comparison is very questionable. This community can open up for us the whole sugya in terms of what constitutes a nesim tam of gamba.